If you have your Bibles, let's go to two places today. Two places. Start. You can go to Luke 19. That's where we're going to be at in a little bit. But go with me to Matthew chapter 21 also. So Luke 19, put your little ribbon in there. You use it now. Most of us, we don't. We just kind of, it flops around. So stick it in there. Use your tithing envelope. Don't forget where it's at when the offering comes. Just encouraging you. Amen. Let's start the timer. Here we are. We're dealing with the last week of Lord Jesus Christ, often known as the Passion Week. Jesus is making his way through Bethany and Bethpage, Mount of Olives, to Jerusalem. But this last week of Christ is important. If you go through the Gospels and you begin to look and read the passages, you'll see that one-third of the Gospel of Matthew deals with the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ. One-third of the Gospel of Mark is given to it. One-fourth of the Gospel of Luke is, and a little bit over half of the Gospel of John is given to this last week of Jesus. It's quite a week. But usually we don't spend very much time on it. Today is what is traditionally known as Palm Sunday. And we'll read about this time. And you saw the video earlier. So let's read a couple verses here. Amber, we'll get to the map when we go over to Luke, okay? Here in verse number 1, it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem," we're in Matthew 21, verse number 1, "they were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." So bring a little donkey, if you will. "And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." And this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." By the way, that prophecy is found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9. And it was written about 650 years before the event actually occurred. It's amazing how the Word of God fits together. And then verse number 6, "And the disciples went." No doubt there was some doubt. No doubt there was a struggle. "But the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass, the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon." Verse number 8, "A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now go with me, if you would, to Luke 19. Luke 19. The word Hosanna, we've read that a couple times in Matthew. It means deliver now. "As Jesus entered into Jerusalem, they spread their garments in the way. Some cut down palm branches." Let's read a little bit here. And verse number 28, Luke 19, verse number 28. "The Word of God says, And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. This is not part of today's message, but it is part of the reading of the Word of God, which probably could be included in the message. It's amazing what happens when we simply obey Jesus. Just simply obey. When we don't understand, He knows the way. He's prepared it. Verse 37. When He has come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives. Now, Amber, put the map up there, if you will. We'll try to make it a little bit larger and all of that. Maybe. That's okay. If you don't have it, we'll skip it. All right, everybody close your eyes and you'll have to imagine a map up on the screen. There it is. All right. There. Thank you, Amber. So, you see Bethany? Some of you say, oh, I can't read it. That's because you sit too far back. Amen. You got to sit where you can see, all right? And I know some of you are thinking, well, preacher, the closer I get to the front, the more I see of you. So I prefer to sit toward the back. So I know I got it, all right? So we have Bethany there, and you have the Mount of Olives there, and you have Bethphage. There's only about 3 miles that are separating these areas, okay? This is the last earthly journey that Jesus is about to take in this little area. He's getting ready to go into Jerusalem. He's going to enter in on what we traditionally call Palm Sunday. And then in a little while, he's going to exit and go back. And then in just a few days, he's going to go back into town and they're going to arrest him and all of the events of the crucifixion will happen. But that's where we're at in Scripture. That's where we are in the Middle East. So go back to the Bible now. And let's begin in verse number 37 again. And it says, and when he was come nigh, even now the descent of the Mount of Olives. Now he's descending, he's over the top of the Mount of Olives, heading into Jerusalem. And it says, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. I want you to know something. In that crowd, there were people who had been healed of diseases, who had been given their eyesight back, who had trusted Him as their Messiah, as their Savior, and they were rejoicing. This is quite a crowd. I've heard most all of my life that this crowd cries Hosanna one day, and then later on they cry crucify Him. Don't you believe that? I think these are two separate crowds. I believe that the crowd here loved God and loved Jesus. I believe in this crowd would be you and I. Praise God for that. Now, there were probably some imposters there, no doubt. But I got an idea that this crowd here, they were pretty excited. Now, they were misstuck on some of the things that they were thinking. They thought Jesus was going to come in and deliver them from Roman oppression and all that. But He was about to deliver all of them from something far greater than Roman oppression. He was about to pay for their sin debt on what the lady sang about the mercy tree. This crowd here had people in it that had been touched by Jesus Christ. And the whole multitude, and verse 38 says, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Oh, there's always some of those. Always some. Somebody was shouting and happy and praising God, and somebody said, you've got to rebuke them. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Every time you look at a sunrise or sunset, you see nature revealing God. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. There's a crowd here that's crying, Hosanna, deliver now. There's a crowd here that had been touched by Jesus. There was a crowd here that was indifferent. I want to go past what we traditionally call the triumphal entry today. And I want to focus on something this morning. Verse number 41 is where we're going to look at today. This verse has drawn my attention, and I've contemplated and I've thought about it. And just tremendous truth. When he was come near. Have you ever felt like you were a little farther away from God than you ought to be? Something happens whenever he comes near. Notice, he comes near. He comes near the city, of course. I can picture Jesus still riding on this little donkey. By the way, all donkeys have a little cross down their back. We have four of them. You can come by and see ours. Two of them if you can catch them. But they have a little cross right down their back, each one of them. Now, never man has ridden any of ours. A couple of us have tried. But I'm going to tell you something. Only the master could get on an animal that had never been ridden and ride it. I'm thinking only the master could settle someone or something that had never been broken. You say, how do you know that? Amen. Identify. But he came near and he beheld the city. And the Bible says he wept over it. By the way, there's a couple of passages of Scripture that deal with the tears of Jesus. Number one, I want you to see this today. Jesus sees beyond the praise. He sees beyond the praise. He beheld it. The word beheld means to see, to take note, to strain with the eye to look upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. Can I say this to you today? God beholds you. He sees you. He has His attention on you. He observes you. He cares. So much of our world today is superficial. Jerusalem, at this point, he looked out at it and it was a beautiful city. He was in the midst of pomp and ceremony. But I'm reminded that Jesus sees beyond superficial service, superficial worship, superficial giving. I was reading and then looked up the word beheld in a couple places where it was used in context with Jesus, and I found one. Here it says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld, looked upon, observed, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow and threw in two mites, which make a farthing, which, by the way, is not very much. And he called unto him his disciples, saith unto him, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You say, how did that happen? Jesus beheld. He observed. He looked. Jesus looks beyond superficial giving. He looks beyond superficial praying. Jesus warned. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. By the way, how often do we use the same phrases and same words in our prayers? Could you imagine if we talked to other people like that? After a while, they'd get bored. They'd think, hey, you've already said that. They'd walk away. He says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. The word vain there means empty, like the heathen do. Whenever I was growing up, the word heathen was cast around a lot. Amen. Don't act like a heathen, they told my brother. He was evil. He really was. So me, I was much worse. It says, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. He just wants you to talk, to worship. See, he goes beyond. He looks beyond the superficial. He sees beyond the praise. He sees beyond the outward in our lives. Years ago, we went to, I forget what it was called at Disney World, when they first opened it up, the part where they had the movies and all there. MGM, is that it? Yeah. So we went there, and part of it, they showed behind the building. You know, there was one section that had buildings, and you could see behind them, and all it was just like scaffolding on the front. Man, it looked awesome. You know, Jesus looks beyond the facade of our lives, that we showed everybody else. He sees the scaffolding. He beheld as he drew close, and he wept. He cares. He sees beyond the praise. But notice also he wept over it. He sees beyond, number two, Amber, the pain. See, he looked past the praise and the glory, and he saw the pain. Many come to celebrate his entry into Jerusalem, but many were indifferent or resistant to his coming. So it is today. Jesus is still concerned about lost multitudes, and we should also. Luke 19, verse number 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He was weeping because many would reject him. Many there were hurting. Many there were indifferent even that he was about to come into their town. I remind you today that every act of disobedience brings sin. Sin brings pain. All sin has negative consequences. And these consequences are usually, often, still in effect after God forgives. So it's important that we seek God before we go into. God sees beyond the praise, the superficial. He sees beyond the pain. Can I tell you that God cares what's hurting you today? He cares. All of this in the last week, right before he's going to be crucified on the cross. He weeps over the city that many are going to reject him in. And many later on are going to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus not only sees beyond the pain, but he sees beyond the present, what's happening in your life right now. And he sees what it could be. I wrote it like this. He says, he sees beyond the present to the potential. Notice in verse number 41, the Word of God says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Verse number 42, saying, it's almost as if he's talking out loud, not necessarily to those around him, but actually to the city itself, the people of the city. And he said, if thou hadst known. Number three, Amber. What Jerusalem might have been. At this point, Jerusalem was a beautiful city. But when you think of Jerusalem today, what do you think of? War? Terrorist? Destruction? Yeah, it's still beautiful. I have friends that go there often. Tina and I have thought about and talked about, would love to take a trip to Israel. But I'm not necessarily willing to die in that part of the world. When you think about it, you think of unrest and all of that. Jesus sees this city and he said, if thou hast known, Could you imagine the difference it would have made if the whole city would have received him instead of rejected him? Don't let your present dictate your future. Oftentimes you ask people, how are you doing? I've heard them say, well, pretty good under the circumstances. I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, get out from underneath there then. We ought to live under God. See, Jesus realizes how messed up we could be. He looked at that city and he knew all that was going on with the people's lives. But he wept. He cared. Can I tell you something? He sees the real you and the real me. But he still loves us. Come now, the Bible says. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, he knows they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He knows that. But then he's provided something to help us to live through our present to become what he wants us to be. There's a passage in Scripture that I absolutely love. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, what's the last word? Rest. The means that he has provided is himself. Come to him. Rest in him. Trust him. Depend upon him. He sees beyond the superficial. He sees beyond the praise. He sees beyond the pain to what it really is. He sees beyond your present to what you can be. And then look at it in verse number 42. As he says, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Notice an exclamation point there. An emphatic statement. But now they're hid from thine eyes. So I was reading that. I was thinking about this. Number four, Amber. He seeks to give me peace. Peace. Jerusalem, the name, means city of peace. It's not lived up to its title. By the way, at this point in history, about 40 years after this point in history, where Jesus is on the back of this donkey looking at this city, about 40 years later, A.D. 70, the Roman general Titus, which will eventually become the Roman emperor, but the city of Jerusalem rebels against Rome. So they send their largest army and their most faithful general, and they completely destroy the city. I don't know, they could take it apart brick by brick, piece by piece. There's nothing left, and they scatter the Jewish people. That's one of the reasons why for many years they were scattered around the world. Jerusalem could have been a city of peace. But instead, they chose destruction and war. I was thinking about that, and I thought, many a Christian could be living a life of peace, but instead they choose war, destruction, hopelessness. Can I remind you today that peace is available? Can I say that again? Peace is available. And it has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has everything to do with Him. Jesus said, therefore be, or the Word of God says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You can have peace with God. You can come and know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You can have peace with Him. Turn, if you will. Last place we're going to go to. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is writing to a church. It's the church in the city of Philippi. The Apostle Paul is writing from a Roman jail. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, notice what he tells them. They're struggling in many ways. You know what they need? Peace. Hope. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say rejoice. What has Jesus done in your life that you're thankful for? Wendell sang about it. He touched me. Made me whole. I was telling somebody this last week. I said, Jesus has literally changed my life. Completely changed my life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. I did the, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whenever you rejoice, whenever you're allowing God to work in your life, whenever you're praying, notice what happens in verse number 7. And the peace of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. God has done everything to bring peace in our lives. He was getting ready to ride in Jerusalem. He was getting ready to give His life for ours. But in the midst of all that, He paused. He stopped. And He looked out at this city that many in it had rejected. Many of them had no idea what peace really was. He drew near and He wept. Triumph or tears? The choice is yours. Last slide, Ember. Very last one. Jesus cares for you. Are you saved? Has there ever been a time in your life that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If not, today needs to be the day. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm going to promise you this. Jesus does. And He cares. Maybe we just have trust issues. Maybe we simply need to trust Him. Here's one thing that I've learned, and many of you have learned the same lesson. I say learned it. We may not have learned it. We know it. How about that? There are lessons that we know that we really haven't learned. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Here's a lesson that I know. He cares for me. I know that. With God's help, may we learn it and live it. Triumph for tears. Pain or hope. Jesus cares. Will you trust Him today? Christian, will you trust Him? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The reason why is because the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. How many in the room today say, Preacher,